Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The north coast of Oregon is in mourning over the death of Sergeant Jason Gooding, who was with the Seaside Police Department and an exemplary officer. His memorial service is on Friday. Today in the studio, I have board members of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation who are organizing the service. We're going to find out today what the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation is, why it's important, and how you can contribute. Today in the studio, I have Bob Miller. Bob is a board member of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. He also had a very long radio career with KEX and KPAM, his own morning show in Portland. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'm glad you're here, and I know you just recently moved here to Astoria.
I did, just 3 weeks ago. We're Astorians now.
All right. You retired and moved here. I also have in the studio Sergeant Eric Bunday. He is with the Hillsborough Police Department, and he is a co-founder of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. Sergeant Bunday, it's nice to have you here in the studio today.
Thank you. Good morning.
I wish that we weren't here in the studio today under these circumstances, however.
Absolutely.
Before we start talking about the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation, I'd like our listening audience to know a little bit more about each of you. So, Bob Miller, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I've spent 44 years behind radio microphones, so I'm at home again. This is nice. Thank you. Some back east, but 10 years at KPAM lately in Portland, and 23 years at KEX. 1190 in Portland. I came to Portland to work for the singing cowboy Gene Autry, as a matter of fact. Retired a couple of years ago, and we've had a house in Astoria for many years, a weekend house, and we decided once I retired to get out of the rat race and move over here and live in it, and we're doing that, and we love it. It's just great. It's just good to be here. So that's pretty much. And as far as how I got involved with Oregon Fallen Badge, I'm a huge admirer of law enforcement, a very respectful admirer of law enforcement, have been for a long, long time. And Eric and I have been friends, Sergeant Bunday and I have been friends for longer than I've been a member of the board, and I had lunch with him right before I retired, and I said, you know, I need stuff to do. And he said, well, how about joining the board of the Oregon Fallen Badge, because you know a bit about media and that kind of thing, and you can help us out in that vein. And I joined, and I've loved every second of it.
Good, and we'll find out more about the mission and how it all started, because Sergeant Eric Bunday, you actually were a co-founder, so please tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you. I'm actually also not a native Oregonian, but I actually live on the Oregon Hump. I moved down to Oregon 14 and a half years ago for my first police job with the St. Helens Police Department, and I have remained a Columbia County resident ever since. I moved to the Hillsborough Police Department 9 years ago in 2007, and I've worked there since. Since I was a child, I always wanted to be a police officer, and I remember as a child Seattle Police losing a few officers, and also Vancouver BC Police losing an officer about 29, 30 years ago. And I remember those were very visible. They were very big and important things. And my parents were, from an early age, were very respectful of law enforcement. Neither of them were police officers, but they would always remind me that police officers have a dangerous job, and that when one dies in the line of duty, it's a big deal, because it's a piece of the community that's been lost. Someone who gave their life selflessly in service of their community. And I remember watching my mom cry when, in 1995, four Seattle firefighters were killed in a structure fire, the Mary Pang Warehouse fire in January of 1995. That was January 5th, 1995. And that, I didn't know, but that day January 5th would play a very prominent role in my life, because between working for St. Helens Police and working for Columbia County Sheriff, or working for Hillsborough Police, I worked for the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, and I was posted at Rainier High School. And during that time, I got to know my good friend Ralph, and Ralph was the chief of police in Rainier, Ralph Painter. And Ralph and I became good friends, and we kind of lost touch when I moved over to Hillsborough Police, but January 5th, 2011 was the worst day of my life. That was the day that I got the phone call at home that Ralph had been shot and killed in the line of duty. Because of that, I found purpose. I'm an honor guard guy. I'm a classically trained baritone. So while Bob's our speaking voice for our foundation, I'm our singing voice, so to speak. And so I've been the honor guard vocalist for Hillsborough Police and here in the Northwest for a number of years. And as a result, I would spend a lot of time helping plan funerals in a support role. But my first funeral that I helped plan in a very lead role was Ralph's. And so that gave me my purpose. So I have the perspective of knowing, too, what Seaside's going through right now. The community, the police department, I've been there. And so for me to be here now is a bit of support back for those who supported me when I went through the worst period of my life after I lost my friend.
What is the Oregon Honor Guard? Because that existed before the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. So why don't we give our listeners some background into what happens when a police officer dies in the line of duty, and what is the Honor Guard responsible for, and then how did that lead to the formation of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation?
Well, Honor Guard is just one component. It's obviously probably the most visible component of a memorial service, because those are the members who are dressed in very fancy uniforms that they're taken from the military tradition. The Honor Guards on the law enforcement and fire side date back to the late 1940s, when members were returning from World War II and entering the civil service, either in policing or in the fire service. And so they brought with them the military traditions that they had learned during the Second World War. Here in Oregon, we were kind of late bloomers. Oregon Honor Guards really date back to the mid-1980s, when the Oregon State Police was the first department to form a standing unit. And then the Portland Police Bureau followed afterward, and agencies like mine, Hillsborough Police, followed over the next few decades. But the Honor Guards we're all full-time sworn law enforcement officers or firefighters, and it's a part-time thing. We don't do this full-time, but at a moment's notice, we will go and take part in a memorial service.
Anywhere in the United States?
It can be. I've actually traveled as far away as Moncton, New Brunswick, for when three Mounties from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were killed in the line of duty in 2014. And it's an important piece of the policing culture. It ties us to our history, to our traditions that come from the military services. So that's where we tie into. So that's why we have the color guards, the rifle salute, which most people refer to as a 21-gun salute. That's why we play taps. That's why we have the flag-draped casket for a fallen officer. These are very, very high, very regimented, very ceremonial honors that are reserved for those who have given their life in the line of duty and in the service of their communities. And it's the Honor Guard units that provide those. So we'll have Honor Guard units from across the United States here and from Canada on Friday for Sergeant Gooding's memorial service. And they're here because in a lot of cases, those departments know what it's like. They're supporting a department that unfortunately is now coming into this fold of being a department that's lost a member in the line of duty. And those other departments that have those experiences, they're here to support them.
The role of the Honor Guard then is to come in for a memorial service. Do they plan the service? Or because now the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation, as I understand it, is planning the actual service.
Correct. They're a component of that. I have an Honor Guard background, but I'm not in an Honor Guard role while I'm here. I'm the deputy incident commander for our response team. So I'm helping to oversee things. Across the board, our incident management team does more than just the honor guard. The honor guard, as I said, is the most visible component, but we do things, we make sure that all the family's wishes and needs are taken care of during this time, that the traffic route is planned, that we have adequate security on site, that we have even enough porta potties at the staging locations for the processional. These are all the details that we look into. I heard it put the other day by another member of the media that this is like planning. He asked me if this was like planning a large-scale convention that normally you would have days, weeks, months, even years to plan, and you have to do it in 5 to 6 days. And I said, that's actually probably the best way to put it. And you add in the element of some of the most intense grief you're ever going to be around. It's an arduous process, but that's why we exist. As I said, you know, honor guard is just one component of that, but it's that very visible, very reverent, very important piece that truly honors that fallen officer.
And I think, Bob, you mentioned before we went on the air that there are honor guard members coming from Chicago, from New York, from all over.
Correct.
For this
right.
service, to participate in the service, and this, and it's a, as you said, it's a ritual. It's highly organized. The folding of the flag, how things are done. It's a very reverent and experience.
It is. It is indeed. It's been quite an experience. I mean, I've been on the board for a little over, I think, Eric, 2 years, and this is my first experience with. The actual service, the memorial for the officer and everything. I've never been involved in anything like this before, and I am so proud to be a part of this organization, and I am so proud of our law enforcement in Oregon watching these people work at that command center. I wish everybody could see it because their hearts are in it and their minds are in it, and they're working very, very hard to make sure that this comes off well. It is mondo impressive.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we are talking about the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. They are organizing the memorial service for Sergeant Jason Gooding on Friday at 1 p.m. at the Seaside Convention Center, and we'll be talking about that in the second half of the program. Today in the studio, I have Bob Miller. He is a board member of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation, and I have Sergeant Eric Bunday, who is with the Hillsborough Police Department. He is a co-founder of the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. Also, for those of you who may not have heard, Governor Kate Brown yesterday ordered that all flags at public institutions will be flown at half staff from sunrise to sunset on Friday, February 12th, in honor of Seaside Police Sergeant Jason Gooding. And her remarks are that Sergeant Gooding served the Seaside Police Department for 13 years, always putting the safety of his community first. Said Governor Brown, please join me in keeping Jason's family, friends, and the community of Seaside in your thoughts. His sacrifice will never be forgotten. And we know that Sergeant Gooding is survived by his wife and two young daughters. And we will talk more about the service. I also spoke with Jeff Oya, and Jeff is a former corporal in the Seaside Police Department. He's now a sheriff's deputy. He worked for many years with Sergeant Jason Gooding, and he said if people could just know that everyone who worked with Jason looked up to how he conducted himself. These are Jeff Oya's words. Everyone who worked with Jason looked up to how he conducted himself as an officer and aspired to be like him. He was what society should value in law enforcement. He was firm, but extremely fair. He did his job with passion, but wasn't overzealous. As a human being, he was fun, a delight to be around. He contributed to the community. He will be missed by everyone who knew him. This is a sad time here. You are here with the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. How that's only been around for about 4 years, and you're a co-founder. How did you decide to found that?
Well, after Chief Painter was killed in the line of duty in 2011, several of us from the Honor Guard community recognized that we had a shortfall in our state for providing support and services to families in need and agencies in need after they'd lost a member in the line of duty. One of the critical areas was in the area of funding. Unfortunately, during these times, one of the questions that we often get asked not just by policymakers, but by citizens alike, is the question of who's paying for all of this. These memorial services are very big. They're very public. They're also very expensive. And in a family's hour of need and a community's hour of need, they don't need to be worrying about a bill. They don't need to be worrying about where's the money coming from. Do we have to short something else to pay for this? Or do we have to tell the family no? Or do we have to do this? We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that the family's needs are met. We want to make sure that the department's needs are met, that the community's needs are met. And so we actually look north. We look to our friends in the state of Washington, where the Behind the Badge Foundation has existed since the late 90s. And the Behind the Badge Foundation is a remarkable organization with wonderful people. And we reached out to them. We asked for help. We said, can you help guide us? And they basically opened up their doors and their hearts to us and said, yes, we would be honored to help you. So we mirrored ourselves after the Behind the Badge Foundation because we saw that it worked. They were the organization that planned and partnered with the Lakewood Police Department to honor the four officers that were killed in 2009 in the largest public memorial service ever in the Pacific Northwest, where over 20,000 people packed the Tacoma Dome for that memorial service. And they had a 2,000 car vehicle processional that went before the memorial service. It was an absolutely massive undertaking, and they pulled it off. And we asked, how did they do that? Well, in a few ways. First of all, they have the funding to do it, and now we're in the position where we have the funding to do it.
Because
that.
You
You're
are a 501c3.
Correct.
You have a website, I want to mention that, which is OregonFallenBadge.com, and people can make donations not only to Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation itself, but also to Sergeant Jason Gooding's family. But anyway, so you now are a 501c3. You have funding.
Yes, we have funding, and I would like to point out, too, that right now, if anybody makes a donation to the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation during this time, all 100% of all monies that we're collecting right now through our PayPal account and also at any U.S. bank branch here in the United States, that 100% of those funds are going to the Gooding family. We're not collecting any money for ourselves. We are collecting all these funds for the Gooding family because they needed the help. They need the support right now. And that's why we're here, is to make sure that they're taken care of.
We do our fundraising outside of events like this.
Okay, I see. So there's no fundraising for Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation at this time.
No.
It is everything is for Sergeant Gooding's family.
Exactly.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's so you formed for the Behind the Badge, and so then you realized you had to be 501c3 so you could get donations for funding.
Correct.
And the other things you needed to do were?
Well, we then put together a multidisciplinary response team. Like I said, Honor Guard is just one component of that. We've got folks from all over the place. Bob is our deputy logistics chief. Bob's a radio guy. We have a public information officer from Washington County. Our planning section chief is the deputy fire chief from Bend Fire, and his deputy is the operations captain for the Bend Police Department. We have folks from all walks of life. We have police survivors, folks that have lost their loved ones in the line of duty. In fact, our parking, the guy who's running parking is a lieutenant with Scappoose Fire, who's Ralph Painter's son-in-law. All of us are there for a reason. We're there because we either have a strong support for law enforcement and a big heart like Bob, or they're like me. Someone close to us was lost in the line of duty, and we've experienced that tragedy, and we know what it's like. But our team is handpicked. We just don't say to anybody on the street or anybody that voices an interest, hey, I want to be part of this team. Our team is handpicked with folks who have the right heart, who are in it for the right reasons, who understand that first and foremost is the Gooding family right now, and then the Seaside Police Department. This isn't the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation's memorial service. This isn't law enforcement's memorial service. This is the Gooding family's memorial service to say goodbye to Jason, and the Seaside Police Department's memorial service to say goodbye to their officer, and the Seaside community's memorial service to bid farewell to their hero.
Yes, it's the first death that we've had of a police officer in the line of duty in 35 years in Clatsop County. So this is huge. Tell us what is going to be happening on Friday and how can community members be supportive?
Well, there's going to be the vehicle procession. That route's going to be released later today through our media operations unit, or our media relations unit. And we urge people, line Highway 101. That procession is going to be big. There's going to be police cars from around the Northwest and fire trucks from around the Northwest in that. But in the front of it's going to be Jason's family. And I can tell you that one of the things that means the most to these families is seeing their community out in droves supporting them. So we encourage people to line that procession route. And then understand that the convention center's capacity is limited. So one of the overflow venues is probably going to be a better idea.
How do people find it? So in other words, the service is at 1, but the procession is at what time?
The procession is beforehand.
And so we don't know exactly what time that will be.
The procession will be coming through town late morning.
Late morning. Okay. So people, and when you're saying line the streets, you mean park your car somewhere else and then come out and to show the family, to show the community
correct.
Support.
Yeah, we need to keep the car. We need to keep the streets clear of cars, obviously, because
yes.
There will be this massive vehicle processional coming through. But, yeah, we want people standing on the sidewalks. There's a lot of people that do that. I know from experience of having driven in these how meaningful it is for me as a police officer to see people out there supporting us. And it means even that much more for this family to see citizens from their community standing there supporting them.
And then obviously we're expecting that the convention center will be filled to capacity. There will be these other venues. How do people find out where those are? Or do they just go to the...
No, we're going to be... people can follow us on Facebook, Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation.
Okay.
Or we're also on Twitter at Fallen Badge. All of those details are being released through our media relations.
Okay.
And are being also publicized through video journalism out of Portland, and then the local papers, the Daily Astorian, and then through folks like you with the radio. So when we've firmed up all of the details with the overflow venues, those will be released today. So that information is forthcoming.
Okay. And Bob, this is the first time you've experienced this. You obviously have seen how the Fallen Badge Foundation has worked. And so right. Do you feel prepared? And I know you've been involved with this now for the last many days.
You know, the most incredible thing about this, as far as I'm concerned, is not only watching everybody work, but working in logistics. One of the things that I've had to do is make phone calls to ask for things. And yesterday I actually had to drive around in Seaside and talk to some people about some things that we need and whatnot. And this community has just absolutely opened its heart. I mean, all you do is just say, I'm with Oregon Fallen Badge, and the next words out of their mouth are, what do you need? And even to the point where I'll say, okay, you got to give me an invoice on that. Just don't worry about an invoice. This is handled, okay? And to see the love and the sadness in the eyes of the people that I'm meeting here is unbelievably inspirational, and it makes me so proud to be an Oregonian. And so proud to live in Clatsop County.
I don't know if people realize how we are able to live in this world, in our world, in our nation, in our community, with a feeling of safety because we have police officers.
Amen.
I mean, unless you go to a country which is chaos, where there is no order, there's no law and order, we are so fortunate to have our policemen protecting and keeping us safe.
We get caught up in watching television shows and watching policemen on television shows and all that, and we get that image. But when you realize that, when you look at Ralph Painter's situation, Officer Gooding's, Sergeant Gooding's situation, these are small towns. These are small communities. They're like families. And they embrace each other at a time like this, and it restores your faith in humanity. It truly does.
I want to echo what Bob said. One of the things that has just blown me away this entire time, and I've lived in this kind of neck of woods or near this neck of the woods for almost 15 years, but you can never underestimate the power of the human spirit and goodwill, because the amount of hugs I've gotten from citizens over the last few days, the thank yous, the folks who I even had an encounter with a man who walked up to me with tears in his eyes and told me that Sergeant Gooding had arrested him several times and how much he was going to miss Sergeant Gooding. And those kind of encounters, it says that this is a community that values and loves and supports its police department, even when they need to hold them accountable. And that says something, and that says something about the residents of Seaside and of Clatsop County, because like Bob said, there's so many people that have, you can see the sadness, you can see the grief, but you can also see the appreciation that people have for us. And so we're also feeling that. It's in the middle of this grief, in the middle of this darkness, there's a lot of light, and it's very impressive, and it's beautiful.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that, because unfortunately, a lot of times people are jaded, or because of the news, you know, they don't realize really how fortunate we are to have, you know, police officers in all over the world, actually. But any last things you would like the listening audience to know? We just have a couple minutes left.
We're just really strongly encouraging people that if they want to support the Gooding family, that is much appreciated. It's needed. So if they can go to any U.S. Bank branch and make a donation, just make the check out to the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. Or if you're giving cash or using a card, just tell the teller it's for the Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation. 100% of that money will go to the Gooding family. Or they can donate online through our website, which is OregonFallenBadge.com, and go to our PayPal account and make a donation there. And again, everything donated there monetarily will go to the Gooding family.
And obviously, you know, coming to the service, lining the streets when the route is announced. Any last thing, Bob?
I can only echo what Eric said, and it's very important. If you want to support, if you want to feel that great feeling that you have supported this family, this is a great way to do it, and it's a great time to do it. As I said before, we do other fundraisers. We have a golf tournament. We have other ways during the year that we raise funds. But right now, this is what we're doing.
Yes, for Sergeant Gooding's family, for the police department in Seaside, for the entire community here.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for both of you for being here, for the important work you're doing.
Thank you.
And I encourage all of you to go to the website, Oregon Fallen Badge Foundation, to find out more about the service on Friday and to be supportive during this time of our great loss here in Clatsop County. It takes all of us to keep this community functional. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you both again.
Thank you, Donna.
My appreciation to Terry Wilson. Thank you, Terry, for being the engineer extraordinaire you always are. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself to take a deep breath, to remind yourself that there is good in the world, and to appreciate yourself for doing the best you can in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.